All right, buds.
If you like olives in the pizza, just get it on half.
Did you guys hear the recent debate? So, all right, before we get started, I wasn't going to talk about this, but I got to talk about this. I was watching the new Democratic Party debates.
Oh, yeah?
The leadership debates. And you know they take questions in from, like, the general public, you know?
The federal.
Yeah. Feds. Anyway, so the people email questions in, and then they ask the candidates, and there's only like four or five of them. One of them's like, 27 years old, and French, and she's kind of cute. So like, if I was an NDP, I'd probably vote for it. But one of the questions I asked, and keep in mind, this is the leadership debate for one of the three, probably the third largest party in Canada, but one of the three, major parties. And the question was, keeping in mind, you're asking this question to the potential future leader of the country. Does pineapple belong on pizza? This was like a legit question they asked at the fucking
leadership. And this is why they'll never win an election.
Well, anyway, I don't want to get into that, but I just thought, what a retarded fucking question to ask in a political leader debate, Anyway. Welcome to the breakdown, buds. I got my boy over here, Raul Luis. And why don't you introduce yourself, good sir?
Sir David Attenborough.
He's been knighted. This is what's going on. We only get the highest brow of guests.
The highest brow.
How's that eye monocle? Did you, the eye monocle guy I sent you to, he was able to square you off, right?
It stabbed me.
All right, boys. So tonight's topic is, there's an only one thing I want to really lead in with, and then we'll just see where it goes. And it's going to be hard to make this one funny, but I'm sure we're up to the task, because if you can offer levity to severity, that kind of makes things easier to digest and stomach. So here it is. I'm watching this BBC show the other day, because, I got to drop it like that. Yeah, I watched the BBC because I'm all like...
Now he's highbrow.
Yeah, highbrow.
I love BBC.
Yeah, I was sitting in my leather back chair with a pipe and a really nice bottle of, cognac, which I was actually sitting in, like, my basketball shorts drinking, Alexander Keats, so whatever, doesn't matter. But, so this was about, the show was about pedophiles. All right, now, I don't want to talk about pedophiles. That's kind of like, that's not really our jam, right? That's not really how we get down. But I do want to use it as a vehicle to get to what we want to talk about. And so these dudes were interviewing these guys in like London or Birmingham or Manchester or Liverpool. And that's pretty much all the cities in England that I know. Portsmouth and Plymouth too, maybe. Whatever. These dudes were in England. And so these guys were like, self-professed, I am a pedophile, the guy says, but he has never acted on it, and he understands that what he is wrong. He'll never act on it. He's actually part of a support group of these guys. They've sought out government help and support, therapy, and he's actually on a self-imposed drug regimen to not take away the urges, but to take away the ability to act on those urges. This guy says it's not his fault. He walks by playgrounds on his way to the store or whatever, the tube station, as they say. And he doesn't see kids. He sees the objects of his desire. He says he'll never get married. He'll never have children. He knows this, and he's going to live an entire life of denying himself the euphoria that the rest of us will experience as we engage in the passions and amorousness with our significant others. So my question is, all the negative, that kind of like knee-jerk reaction that goes along when you hear pedophilia, when you think about that, because let's take that out of the equation. Where is the malfeasance? Is this guy a bad guy? He's never acted on it. He says he never will act on it. In fact, he recognizes that the way he's wired is wrong, and he's taking steps to make sure that his basest nature never comes out. So the question is the malfeasance in the thought or in the values or is it in the action? And it doesn't, we don't need to be talking about pedophilia. We could be talking about anything.
Yeah, because it'd be no different than a guy casing a joint to rob, knowing he's never going to rob the place. Right? How's that any different?
There's a bit of a difference there, because the guy could be doing it for a challenge. You know, like I...
the mental activity of it.
Yeah. I'm struggling to find a comparison here, but when I was a bit younger, we'd be walking through the park, you know, you'd jump a fence just to see if you could do it, not because you were practicing to get away from the cops or whatever, just because you wanted to know that, you know. But that's a physical challenge, so it's a bit different. But I think there's bad in both. There's bad in the thought, because it's obviously an unnatural thought that he's had to take these, you know, large steps to...
Well, he knows his nature is a little fucked up.
Right, and I mean, the act, it goes without saying. I mean, it goes without saying that that is incorrect.
Well, okay, so have you ever met a guy? I know you have. For me, it's a regular, it's almost a daily thing. And you meet a guy who says something or does something or just looks a certain way or is going on about his, you know, hoity-toity, pretentious, double strong, fucking Strong Jack IPA from Oregon, and it's whatever. It's not even. Yeah.
How's your double IPA from Oregon?
It's all right. But you know, and you see this guy, and you just like the smug look on this rat bastard, and you just want to stab the shit out of him. Like you literally want to, you know, Patrick Swayze roundhouse kick, rip his throat out, you know. Kill this man. Have you ever, like, just gone through the mental exercise of plotting a murder?
Without incriminating myself?
Hey, man. The thought police aren't here yet. You know, and I got a tinfoil hat in there you can use any time.
But I believe just the thought processing of a planning of a murder is a crime unto itself, isn't it?
Well, I mean, is this Minority Report here? I'm not, like, going to the hardware store.
I was just thinking, is it a red ball or a round ball?
Yeah, like, I'm not
going... Oh, it's premeditated. Oh,
I'm not going to the hardware store to buy fucking shovels and plastic bags. I don't need to. I just call Louise up. He's got them in his garage.
Got it in my trunk, just in case.
You know? Well, I think, like, yeah, everybody is...
You never know when somebody's going to piss you off on the road.
So does that make you a bad dude?
No, it's just called Boy Scout.
Now that being said, with that being said, I've never walked down the street or been in a club and seen a super smoking bird and been like, you know what? I really want to sexually assault her. Never been there. Never thought about that. So it is a bit different, because it's like, that's a brutal thing to do. So maybe there is a difference.
Okay, plotting or thinking about how you could get away with a cold-blooded murder or premeditated murder... It's quite different than being in a situation where things get heated and you thinking, you know what, I want to beat the shit out of this guy. I want to beat him to death.
Yeah,
and
right.
Things just get like, escalated, and pretty soon, like there was a, on the topic of murders, there was a video maybe 2 or 3 years ago of a guy that had been followed off the road by a family. The dad was driving or whatever, and I guess, so it was in Quebec, the guy took exception to the way he was driving. And, you know, like, things escalate, words mean things, and words hurt people, and the guy comes back at the car with a chainsaw to try to scare the family, and the kids are freaking out in the back seat. Does that make you a bad dude? Yeah, it really does. But was he provoked? Should the guy have been followed off of the road to talk about a road rage incident? Let it go. But again, those are heat of the moment things, and the action made him a bad dude, instead of just sitting in his car and saying, you know what, I'd really like to take a baseball bat through your windshield right now. That's heat of the action stuff. The action makes you a bad dude. When you're thinking about walking down the street and, you know, thinking violent thoughts or thinking sexually assaulting thoughts, yeah, that makes you a bad person. There are glimmers. We talked.
But back to the what, Chris?
What? That's fine.
Back to what we brought up earlier.
Yeah.
About the whole thing. He's not viewing them as children, I would say, in my mind, right? Not that I'm condoning any, but which what he is.
He knows cognitively, those are kids. I'm not right in the head. So he processes it that way. Yeah, he understands the rules. He understands what they are.
But I think that's because
he's emotionally.
I think it's been ingrained in him that those are children. That's wrong because he's been able to be talked to because of the drugs.
Yeah.
Because I think once the desire kicks in on him, then it sort of becomes primal instinct. Once again, not condoning any action or agreeing with any actions that the people have taken.
Of course.
All right. But well, let's bring it to something.
You know, it's
let's shift the gears a little bit.
It'd be like going to a bar and going, "That girl is pretty hot. I'd love to."
Yeah. Well, yeah. You see a very like smoking dime piece bird, and you're like, yeah, man, I would love to spend some time on that. That is a hell of a lot different than, you know what? I'd really like to, like, sneak up behind her in a parkade. Totally different things. I think it's totally natural to see smoking hot bird and be like, wow, you know, man, I'm going to put that one in the bank and I'm going home later with some aloe vera and I'm going to take a fucking 25-minute shower. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with that. But here, let's shift gears a little bit. We'll keep on this thread, but we'll take it away from pedophilia because that's a really rotten one, and I know a lot of people.
It's just hard to discuss it rationally. We had talked about briefly when we were discussing the topic. We talked about the fact that the guy sought help,
mm-hmm.
and does that offset the bad? And
I think if he doesn't act on it,
I don't think it offsets the bad, but it like it's a glimmer of hope. You can be a bad quarterback who has good qualities. You know, glimmers. He's got glimmers.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. But I'm talking about, like, malfeasance. Not like there's a bad nature to the guy, but is he a bad guy? Maybe the two can't be separated. So let's shift gears, talk about the same sort of thing, but something that maybe is a little more easy to digest and discuss, okay? So I'm going to give you a hypothetical. Say you're a dude who grew up in some small little shitbox town in Mississippi, okay? Your dad's a racist. Your mom's a racist, which is, you know, fitting because they met at a clan gathering mm-hmm. type of deal. You know, the old hoedown.
You know how it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all your neighbors are racist. All your friends are racist. Mm-hmm. All your uncles and aunts are racist. Your grandfather was the Grand Wizard, you know, all back in the day. And so you grow up and, you know, this is the nature versus nurture stuff. So you end up being a bit of a racist. However, you're also, you know, like a 21st century racist. Okay? So you understand that riding horses in the night and burning crosses isn't the way you get things done anymore. And you're now living in capital of Mississippi. Is Jacksonville?
No, Jackson.
Jackson,
Mississippi.
Jacksonville's Florida. Yeah. Same shit anyway. Jackson, Mississippi.
Oh, it isn't. Actually, Jacksonville's not a great.
Yeah. So you're in Jackson, Mississippi now. Same guy. You're all grown up. And you own a hardware shop. Little hardware shop. And you're a racist. You know you're a racist. You don't associate with people of color. You don't like homosexuals. You just basically like the white Aryan bloodline. All right? However, in your business, you have hired people of color. Okay? Mm-hmm. You're riding the bus, you see a woman standing up, you know, a black woman, and you're sitting down, you offer her your seat. You're walking down the street, you see a Muslim woman in a niqab drop her keys to her car. You bend down, you pick up the keys, here you go, ma'am. You know, so you never act on it, you don't discriminate.
So you're a chivalrous racist?
Well, you believe in your mind, your values are, I'm a racist. These people aren't my equal. These people are substandard. I don't want to associate with them. I'm never inviting them to my house. But I will never discriminate. I'll never vocalize it. I'll never drop N-bombs. I'll never, you know, I won't, you know, make any jokes about, like, I won't be walking down the street and going to seeing a Muslim family and making some off-the-shoulder remark about, you know, bombs and terrorism. Anything like that. You just are... You believe what you believe in your head, behind closed doors. You know, you read Mein Kampf on a daily basis. But out on the street, you understand that's not acceptable behavior. I'm not going to do it. Are you a bad guy? Where's the malfeasance? Is it in the action or is it in the belief?
I would say the actions speak louder than the words. I would probably argue that he's not very racist.
Right, yeah. Sure. No, his thoughts are a legacy. But have you ever heard the phrase? Actually, it's not a phrase. It was a meme. It's not a phrase. It was a meme. And it's a bear with a frowny face, and he says, "I've made a habit of being trustworthy so that when I need to, I can lie and be believed." Like, if you're being good so that you can get away with being bad, then you're Dexter. Like, you're not...
Yeah, but this isn't the guy who's ever going to do it. Like, when we were talking before, what was it you said? What was that that term?
I don't remember.
I remember. I just don't want to steal it.
Oh, you take it.
He's a non-practicing racist.
Oh, he's a non-practicing racist.
He's a non-practicing racist.
That's right.
So, I don't know. Like, is he a bad dude? Like, I mean... But then it also is... All right, so let's just keep talking about the bad dude, because I think this is going to transition into another question, which is going to make you, Mr. Luis Raul Luis, accuse me of being a soft-hearted lefty.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, in the flesh, right here in front of us, a voter. Mm-hmm. A voter of the soft left, I believe.
Who, you?
No.
Me?
Yeah.
No.
I'm obviously...
I voted.
You don't have to tell us how you vote.
No, it's fine. I got no problems. I voted Libertarian.
I'm kidding. I obviously know that you're not.
Because I was actually lucky enough to have one in my riding. Libertarians, it's an underappreciated mindset. But anyway, let's not get on that.
Let's not go politics. So if we're going to go politics, let's pop over the music.
Yeah. Right? No, so... So what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Is this guy a bad?
Is he a contributing member of society? Yes.
So was Charles Manson. He paid taxes.
Yeah, but he wasn't contributing member anymore. He fucking killed people. He stopped being contributing.
just depending on the people you kill, you might still be contributing.
Well, fair enough.
And nope, shaking your head at me.
No.
I think there's a few people that could
vigilanteism. Yeah,
maybe that pedophile.
Well, yeah. All right, so then
I don't know. Like you said, it's
first off, the fact that this guy's a racist. Let's break it down. Is it his fault? Think about first off, is there a racist gene? I don't know. I'm not a geneticist. I think it's learned behavior. All right,
100%.
So here's a guy who grew up and his entire life he was surrounded by fucking idiot racists. You know. If you get that kind of exposure when you're a child, it's going to be formative. So, first off, is it his fault?
Okay.
That he's a racist?
That's a tough way to phrase that question. Everything, since you voted libertarian, mm-hmm. and life is a series of individual responsibility choices.
Yeah, sovereignty of the individual.
Everything is your choice. So, what you choose to believe is your choice, and if you know deep down in your heart that what you believe is a relic of a bygone era.
Oh, that's not what I said. He knows that it's not socially acceptable. But in his head, he still believes that it's right. He just knows, you know, it's like me.
Is it his fault then? I mean...
Well, so we're talking about agency. Every individual is responsible for their own actions. I agree. But how much agency does an 8-year-old have?
Very little.
Very little. And that 8-year-old's eventually going to become a 12-year-old who still has very little agency. By the time they start having any kind of fidelity on their formation of their own self, by the time they're 15, 16, 17, I mean, the damage has already been done.
It takes like 2 generations to wipe out the stigma of...
Yep.
What people are going through. So, yeah. If his parents stopped and said, "This is wrong," he still may not come out. He would have to say, "Stop, this is wrong." Then his children's children and his children's children would probably then have a hope.
So I would argue that at least, you know, formatively, it is not his fault. As a child, at some point in time, he's got to realize, wait, this isn't right. You know,
but he wants to believe it. Yeah. He wishes that it were socially acceptable, right? He wishes that you could go back to a Mississippi Burning type of scenario.
What a movie, right? Gene Hackman.
Oh my God!
Right?
So good.
So good. Such a good movie.
Right? Willem Dafoe. So good.
Yeah. Who is the bird? Madeline Stowe?
I don't know.
Anyway, good movie, man. Gene Hackman.
Just phenomenal.
Something so good. A young Willem Dafoe, too, yeah. Eh?
Pre-platoon. Pulls out the .38 on him in the hood of the car.
Man.
Oh, so good.
So good.
Just great. Okay, so yep. let's put that into a different example. My grandfather, without airing my dirty laundry, my parents were really old when they had me. So my grandfather beat my grandmother. Like...
So this is like the 30s, 40s type of thing. Like this is the shit that went down.
No, this was in the 50s.
Okay, this is still...
Maybe even the 60s.
Acceptable behavior at the time. Yeah. Doesn't make it right, though.
So he grew up in turn-of-the-century Ireland, right? Mm. Came to Canada in the aughts, like 03, 04-ish.
That's what aught means?
Yeah, like we call it like...
07 would be aught 7?
Yeah.
Okay,
That's what the interwebs is calling the period from... The turn of the millennium to 09, aught 9.
I just thought they called the 2000s and then the 2010s. All right, so the aughts. All right, cool.
Keep going. Not that I spend a lot of time on Reddit, but that's what... Anyways. So, is it his fault? Yeah, it's his fault.
Yep.
Absolutely, it's his fault. We're applying the same logic to a different scenario. So, he was a kid, you know, one of those little bratty kids running around on... whatever version of Fleet Street was in whatever town in Ireland he was from.
Call it, let's say he's from Killarney, because I love that word.
Killarney. There you go, Killarney. I honestly thought he was from Cork, but I think that's
Cork is awesome too. He's from Cork.
I think that's where they departed from. I don't think he's actually from Cork.
He's from Killarney by way of Cork.
Anyways.
Yeah, awesome.
Nice. So whatever like terrible experience that he had, he knew that it was wrong. Because he had, I mean, I can't even describe the unspeakable horror in, you know, like post-Dickensian UK British Isles that this kid must have seen and been exposed to, but he knew that it was wrong because he didn't beat the kids. Because his primary focus, my mother used to tell me, was putting good food on the table to the detriment of other things. So he'd, you know, he'd walk to work or whatever so that he didn't...
There we go.
Sorry
about
that.
No. Keep going.
Anyways, there were sacrifices that he made so that he could put food on the table, even though the majority of his children were women, or girls, who grew up into women. But he still beat his wife in front of those kids. And, like, that's not cool. That's not okay.
That is not okay.
Right. So we're saying the exact same thing. He knew that it was wrong, and he did it anyway. Okay, again, this is actions, vice words, but he knew that it was wrong... But he was just practicing what he knew. But it was still his fault. You know, like, yeah, he came up in a terrible environment, but it's still his fault. Is it your fault your parents brainwashed you? No, but eventually in your 30s, you've got to challenge your beliefs. Like, I had the benefit of a liberal education, and I mean liberal in the sense of, like, social sciences and humanities, that I got to challenge my beliefs pretty early, and I continue to challenge my beliefs.
Yes, but I think you're making the valid point to this here. You got educated, and you were looking for an enlightenment. If you're not into the enlightenment in changing your beliefs, and you're stuck in that brainwashed mentality, then you're just going to keep toeing the line.
Yeah, fair enough. But, right? But it's your fault, which is the question.
Yep.
Which was the question. Is it his fault? Is he wrong? Yeah.
At some point in time, the onus is on the informed, experienced adult to realize the faults and the fallibilities in their upbringing so that they don't replicate it.
Yeah. And that's part of being an adult, is realizing that you're wrong. You know, like, we teach our kids to say sorry out of a habit so that, you know, when it comes time, you can admit you're wrong. And eventually, you're going to have to challenge your beliefs and say you're wrong.
Okay.
But once again, you're coming from an enlightenment era. What if you're in an area where challenging those beliefs would be completely wrong, right?
Well,
if you challenge the beliefs, then you got beaten yourself, right? So now you're challenging a belief, right? Now you're getting into a whole different topic now, right?
But, well, the unfortunate part is that Jimmy gets to be judged by people like me.
Yeah. That's the beautiful thing about, you know, hindsight, is I'm allowed to sit on my soapbox and my altar and be like, yo, bro, y'all fucked up. as I'm sure people in 50 years or 25 minutes will do with me, or shortly after listening to this podcast. So let's all this shit. Okay, so like people talk about like alcoholism, alcoholism as a disease. Yeah. Okay. The guy in England and what the English health authorities are start to treat things like pedophilia as mental disease. Okay? I'll even give that to him because I don't know enough about it.
Sure.
All right. I'll defer to the
medical authorities.
Medical authorities
and the DSM-5.
I'm not sure what that is, but sure.
The Diagnostic Statistic Manual.
Cool.
It's the thing.
Psychology
that,
stuff.
Yeah. It's the book of disorders. Mm.
Okay.
Or is it DSM-4? I don't know. DSM.
It is a thing, a book of some sort. Okay. So we'll get all that. All right. Now let's get to right. So these are diseases. Not learned behavior. Okay. So could the argument be made for this dude, this racist guy, is racism a social disease? You know, it's not genetic. However. I mean,
it's a learned behavior.
It is learned behavior, but some people say that alcoholism is learned behavior because, you know, so the whole thing, if you were raised in a household with an alcoholic, you're more likely to become an alcoholic yourself. Is that A, because you carry the same genetic code as the person who's an alcoholic, or B, it was observed behavior growing up, so you're more likely to replicate it, or C, a combination of the two?
Well, I mean, we do have addictive personalities, and that's a... Mm-hmm. That's a demonstrated thing.
I am in no way trying to rationalize racism. It's unacceptable, and you know, any kind of discrimination against anybody based on their color, religion, language they speak, sexuality, sexual orientation, gender identity, any of that shit, fuck it all. People are people. We're all human beings, and we should be treated as such. But is intolerance like that potentially a social disease?
I think the basis, the crux of your question is that intelligence or education leads to equivocation.
So it's curable.
Because you're not sure.
Yeah.
Because you're not sure. Because everything can really be explained if you delve down deep into it.
Well, racism can certainly be cured by cosmopolitan values, exposure to other people, a little bit of education. For example, I'm a guy living in New Jersey. You know what? No, this is Canadian. So let's say I'm a guy living in Mississauga. No, that's a bad example. I'm a guy living in Olds, Alberta. I know a thing or two about that. Small town. And I really don't like, homosexuals. You know, I think so. Homosexuals are sexual predators. I don't think they should be allowed to adopt children. I don't think they should have the right to be married to each other. I think they're abomination because my church tells me so, and they just disgust me. Keeping in mind, I've never actually met one. Okay? So then I can take that guy and I can say, you know what, bud? Come with me. You're going to live in a house with these guys for a couple weeks. You're going to just observe them, experiment of some sort. And you witness them, and it's like, by the end of that, if you go in with an open enough mind, hopefully that guy leaves recognizing that, well, these are just people. They're no different than me, except, you know, they're attracted to dudes or women who are attracted to women. They're not sexual predators. They're not, you know, deviant personalities. They're just different from me. That doesn't necessarily mean bad. I think it's our abilities to accept difference and to tolerate diversity that allows us to, you know, to brag about where we're from and being enlightened. So there is a cure. There is a cure for these if it's learned behavior, if it's a social disease, if it's whatever.
But the one thing that you just mentioned there is he has to have a willingness to go.
This is true.
And to do it. If he's not going to be open enough minded to do it, then it's not going to work. They got to be willing. You can't force it upon them.
Yeah.
You either got to rebrainwash them again, or they have to be willing to do it.
Yeah.
Which then comes with education.
Yeah.
But if they're not going to be educated on the topics of whatever, that applies across the board to whatever. Right? So.
All right. Well, fair enough. Oh, I believe our knighted friend over here has something he wants to talk about.
On the topic of brainwashing and people believing things that have been ingrained in them, Bertrand Russell said that the whole problem with the world is that fools and fanatics are always so certain of themselves, and wiser people so full of doubts.
Yeah, I buy that.
And that goes back to my point that, you know, with enough education and enlightenment comes equivocation. And, well, I don't know, is this, you know, like, he's so sure of himself that he's right because of a brainwashing, and here we are, three reasonably educated guys discussing, well, whether or not, is he bad? Is it his fault? We're filled with doubts, and he's sure of what he's doing.
For the record, because that was a good quote, and it ties in nicely with what we're talking about, I'll give you a pass. You get one fact check. Now, I'm not going to use any fact checking, because I don't. I like to just blindly spout off whatever, you know, garbage pops in my head. So I'm going to give you my fact check. So you have another one. I'm giving you mine.
Okay.
You can have it.
Because that wasn't a fact check. That was, I had that on my phone.
Ah, okay. I'll then I take it back. So now you do it now. That means you have two fact checks then.
I will show you.
Oh, is this song on repeat?
Okay. It's in a gallery of quotes.
Oh, there we go. You have a gallery of quotes? Of course you do. Oh, boys, these cigars are not bad.
All I got is fuck sensitivity online.
They're excellent.
Yeah.
And thank you for providing. I've got three more inside for should we need to re-up.
Oh, De La Soul's new album is so good.
Really?
Oh, dude, it's so good. We're going to put this on here.
I said really like it wouldn't be, but I didn't know they put out so a new good. Album.
Yeah, well, new-ish. 2000. My friend West, Elena, the Russian bird, she turned me on to this. Well, I used to really like De La Soul back in the day. All right, so I think we've kind of exhausted this, you know. So here's another topic. Kind of funny thing I read the other day, right? I'm very vocal on my just bewilderment when it comes to these anti-vax assholes. I think I bring it up every fucking podcast. Mm. All right, so Romania, which has the lowest rates of vaccination in the European Union at 83%, 85%, something like that. And the World Health Organization recommends a minimum of 95% to achieve levels for herd immunity. You need 95% minimum. Okay. Romania, anti-vax is really big there. Maybe Jenny McCarthy has a fucking summer home there. I don't know. Anyway, this year alone, which is only 3 months and 3 days in, they've had 17 children die from the measles in Romania. And none of them are vaccinated. So at what point in time, now there's a great Penn and Teller, you know, the comedians and magician guys?
Oh, yeah.
With the
bullshit?
Yeah.
The show?
Yeah. So they have this one, which is great, and I highly recommend everybody watch it, where they talk about, like, autism, and, like, it doesn't actually cause autism, but let's just assume that it did cause autism in like 1 in 100 kids, and they have like all these like I think they're like bowling balls or something, and they have these two plexiglass shields, or one plexiglass shield which symbolizes vaccinations, right, and then like the other side is completely no vaccinations. So they knock over one bowling pin, which is like, this is the one kid who's gonna get autism, the one kid, and then they start like hurling balls, and most of the balls are bouncing off the plexiglass. It's like measles, polio, whereas you go to the other side and all these fucking bowling pins are flying everywhere because it's representing kids, you know, getting sick. So assuming that autism does cause, or the vaccinations did cause autism in 1 in 100 kids, which it fucking does not, by the way, but let's just assume that it did. Is that worth that 1 in 100 chance that your kid is on the spectrum worth subjecting your kid to the risks of dying of fucking measles or polio or rubella or the mumps or whatever else?
No
Not at all. So like, at what point in time does common sense have to kick in with these fucking anti-vax clowns, right? Like, there's a guy, I don't want to say his name and I don't want to say where I know him from, but I know this dude, and he's going on about, oh, don't get vaccinations because you know, it's got heavy metals in it, like mercury, and that gets your blood. So first off, it was in such low quantities that your body gets rid of it. And second of all,
your body produces a lot of those.
Yeah.
Maybe not mercury, but.
Yeah, but second of all, okay, they haven't used mercury since 1995. It's now aluminum some aluminum thing, okay?
Well, I got the one with mercury and I'm fine.
Yeah. I mean, I once in a while get upset and bang my head against the wall for no reason okay. and start spinning in circles and screaming, but I'm fucking awesome at the Rubik's Cube, so I mean, it all works out in the end. That's like the worst stereotypes of autistic kids, right? Doesn't matter. Matters, but doesn't matter. Anyway, I'm just baffled at, like, people who... And I guess it kind of does tie into, like, our earlier discussion of, like, intolerance. Like, there is absolutely no evidence that backs up your ridiculous beliefs and claims. And still, you believe them, right? And that's what you were saying, your quote about stupid people being so steadfast. We got a growler right here, man, if you want
to. This is a chocolate porter.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, you're so steadfast in your beliefs and your intolerance or whatever. And the problem is, like, enlightened people are apparently
it's like a shot.
Too scared or whatever. What was the quote again? Dumb people are steadfast.
And fanatics are so sure of themselves and wiser people are so filled with doubts.
Wow. Well.
Okay.
What do you guys want to talk about? We're only at 36 minutes. So we can make this a short one or we can keep going. I still got about half a cigar left and...
So actually some recent experience with measles. My wife was exposed to a patient.
Nurses, right?
With measles, and I know you can relate. And so we've got little boy at home, uh-huh. and she comes home and she's pretty freaked out, and maybe not freaked out, but she was angry. She's angry that it was even happening. Like, why do I have to...
Well, they've had an outbreak here in Halifax.
Yeah. Like, 17 or something.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, don't quote me on the number, but it was more than...
Halifax West High School, I think it was.
It was more than one, and there was a number of them, enough to call it an outbreak. Anyways, so she had to go to public health. Public health followed up with her, and she had to go get blood tests, and because she came home to me, like, I had to get blood tests, and the whole time I'm thinking, like... I've done everything that I should have done. I've had my two immunizations. I've done everything that was required of me, and still, it might not be enough because you made a choice. You, the parents, made a choice that this wasn't
stop in everyone's everybody best, else at risk.
Everyone's best interest because you didn't think so, and now, you know, my little kid is going to be. In danger of this, and it's a serious thing, right?
So okay, here's a good question.
Because he's only had the one, and you don't even get the second one until you're...
Yeah, because he's so little.
Yeah.
So here's a good question, then. Well, I'm going to say it's a good question. It might be a shit question. And if it is, please keep your opinion to yourself. Unless it's a great question, then feel free to tell me what a fucking stellar
what
question
is. What a great preamble.
Yeah. So at what point in time... So how much government is too much government? Do you think that... The federal government or the provincial government or whatever level of government coming down and saying, I'm not telling you need to vaccinate your kids, though I'd like to see the government do that. What I am telling you is if your kids aren't vaccinated, one, and this is happening, doctors are allowed to fire you as patients. This is actually happening. And there's like, civil rights, human rights fucking lawsuits about this shit. Right? People feel they're being discriminated against. Yeah, I'm as a doctor, I'm discriminating against retards who are going to fucking expose my waiting room to shit. Yeah. Right? So can the federal government or provincial government say, one, I'm not saying you have to vaccinate your kids, but if you don't, doctors can do that. You're not allowed to go to public schools. Mm. You're not allowed to use public resources. You're not allowed to go to the public pool. Feel free to go to the private club, you know, that charges $1,500 a month. To use their facilities, but you're not allowed to, and your kids are not allowed to use public schools. You're not allowed to ride the bus. You're not allowed to blah blah blah. Anything that's publicly funded. Is the government allowed to do that?
I think so.
I 100%.
I thought I would agree with you at the start of the statement. but I'm going to equivocate. So how do you enforce that? The only way, that's
a different thing.
The only way that you could enforce the level that you're talking about, schools is one thing.
Schools
is one thing. You got to show the immunization records before they go to kindergarten or whatever they call it out here, grade primary. Doctors, that's easy enough to check up. Those are sort of like things where you have the time to do the legwork.
Yeah.
But the only way that you could ban people from public pools.
You got to put the microchip behind the ear or whatever.
Yeah. We'll
the identity them. Cards. Yeah. Right? The identity cards that you put it in, and you know, like, what if there's a mistake? I mean.
Okay. Maybe it's not realistic the other way, but certainly public schools.
I didn't say it's not realistic.
I know what you're saying.
Well, very realistic.
It's realistic, but that would require a lot of government overreach.
That's it, right? Like, how much is too much? Should the government be able to say, like, yeah, you can't send your kids to school if they don't have their shots by age 4 or 5? Yeah.
Well, or they could set up a special school. There is a school for unimmunized kids. They're the worst fucking teachers around because they're the only teachers we could get, and there's only one of them in the city, so you're going to be driving your kid.
So here's the other thing, though.
And let's make sure that school's in a shit.
Now, I don't know if it's anything, but now what if it becomes a religious belief? I'm religious.
Oh, you're talking about, like, the Jehovah's Witnesses?
Oh, religiously against having my children immunized, right?
Oh, well, then the Jehovah's Witnesses, you're not allowed to, they're not allowed to draw blood.
I wasn't going
to
name fucking religions or whatever, but you know what I mean?
It's easy though. You could say, I'm not discriminating against your kid because of Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm discriminating against your kid and you because they're not immunized. The fact that that's a product of your religious belief, I don't care. It's a functionality thing to me.
Right? I mean, that's what you're saying, it's but now, now you're getting in infringing on the religious beliefs, which is a hot topic right now, right? So. And
always going to be a hot topic. I don't even know if it's that hot in the number of discriminatory topics that are out there today. But always going
to
be.
I think we've become numb to it. Kind of. It's just become part of the vernacular. You know. But yeah, I mean, sure, we got to be culturally sensitive to people too. But you know, like, if you live in a neighborhood with a big Jewish population and there's a public school where you know 30 to 40% of the school are going to be Jewish kids, maybe being sensitive to that, you know, from a dietary point of view or whatever, like cultural restraints and habits they have, religious. Sure, I got no problem with that. And if you don't like that, send your kids to a different school.
Fair.
So yeah, I'm more of this under the belief that religion belongs nowhere in the school system, and what happens in the school. If you want to fucking bring pork, bring pork. If you don't want to bring pork, don't bring pork. Right?
Well, nobody's gonna force you to eat something you don't want to eat.
You know, it's.
I went to Catholic school, so I've got a whole argument against your point there. But
which one?
The. Religion has no place in schools, but
well, you went to Catholic school.
Yeah, and I didn't like it for a long time, but I kind of see the benefit now, looking back on it.
That's different, though.
A little bit, but that wasn't even really the point that I wanted to make. It was, we've got a really good system of government. It's not the best. It's not perfect, or it's not the best. It is the best. It's not perfect, but how do you make it better? I mean, incrementally, I guess, and you can only make small changes to try to encourage the behavior that we all know is right. For example, immunizations, without the government overreach, because the same guy who wants to vote libertarian or who votes libertarian is now in another argument saying, you know what, I want ID cards to tell me if you got your second MMR.
I don't want the ID cards.
I know, but I mean, you talked about even just the discussion, the fact that, you know, you'd be open to having the discussion. I mean, it's all one man's trash is another man's treasure, right? Like, in one context, yeah, it would be great if this just happened. You know, we don't have the iron lung, we don't have polio, but people are so far removed from that in our protected world that they don't even have to ever think about that. And then you're treating meningitis with echinacea tea, and
Like that kid in Alberta.
That's right. That was the example. Well, another stupid shit, you know.
They got convicted. Yeah. As they should have. Mm-hmm. But again, education cures it. Jenny McCarthy.
That's over education. Yep. Those guys are over educated.
Jenny McCarthy, you think vaccinations are bad? Why don't we take you to a fucking orphanage in Bulgaria?
But didn't
I don't know
she
why
come back off that?
No.
Didn't she come off the high horse on that? Because didn't she?
No,
like,
she still believes it. But
I
turns
she was
out,
proven wrong, and then she went, oh, yeah. Okay, I
it
was
turns
wrong.
Out her kid isn't even autistic. Right? But anyway, yeah, she's still spouting this shit because she's so cemented into the belief she can't.
Well, that's.
You know, she can't admit. She's one of these people. Yeah, I can't admit that I'm wrong. We podcast about
once,
this before.
Once you put ideology into it, it's over.
Right? So, but say you're a guy who believes that autism is caused by vaccinations. And the vaccinations are bad. And that they don't work. Like this guy, I'm not going to say where I know him from. But, you know, how about I take you to a Bulgarian, I don't know why it's Bulgaria. I just assume Bulgaria is like an impoverished state, which it's not. But anyway, let's take you to Bulgaria and show you an orphanage where there's an outbreak of measles because they don't vaccinate at this particular orphanage. I'm just making this shit up. Right? This double IPA is getting on my fucking head. Alright? So anyway, have a look. See what the suffering is. And you tell me that was the right call to not vaccinate those kids. They're all going to fucking die of, you know, some very preventable thing that we got rid of in the 1930s. That's just decided to show up again. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. It's right. It's absolutely wrong. Yeah, it's absolutely wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else, guys? I mean, we got time. I'm good to go.
Well, do you want to completely shift topics, completely different, or do you want to keep on this?
Whatever you want. Whatever you want to jam about, homie. This is tight, though, right? The De La Soul.
Oh, loving the De La Soul, but
yeah, you want to? Man, we can put it on pause. I'll put this on pause for a minute, for just a little minute here.
But can I tell you the story first?
Yeah, we're recording now, so welcome back.
Welcome back. All right. Yeah,
so Ariana okay. Grande Latte, let's
Ariana
go.
Ariana Grande Latte, side to side. It's a group of mostly guys, and we have been in a... We haven't watched TV, we haven't been listening to, you know, like, fresh music.
You've been offshore.
Yeah, we were offshore, that's right. And this video comes on. And I felt sorry.
With the high ponytail,
oh,
right?
Oh, buddy, the high ponytail. Gets high ponytail is my jam.
Every good, time. Sorry.
Good lord, that video is intense. Anyways.
Is it dirty good? Because Christina Aguilera dirty is still my go-to.
That's a good video.
Yeah, that is a good video. This is, well, it's like, this is all, I don't know, it's not, dirty was meant to be like that. This is just everything that you would.
It's all innuendo now.
Yeah. Somewhat ironically, this is a lot more tasteful.
Yeah. Oh, they're on the exercise bike.
Yeah.
It's a spin
they're
class.
Spinning. Yeah, they're all in spin class. Yeah. Anyways, there's like probably 15 or 20 of us and maybe like two women. And I had to like shut my mouth. Like I couldn't. I was like, I need a minute.
Yeah.
I gotta.
And then there was a lineup okay. for the show.
We need
so
to
we're
postpone
about an
this
exercise
meeting.
Class video? Yeah, but was it Eric Perez good? Call on me.
Oh, yeah, the aerobics one?
Was it as good as that? Because
yes.
that's right. Like number two go-to.
So,
What about Benny Benassi, Satisfaction?
No.
Which has been pretty much duplicated with Fifth Harmony's
Oh, dude, you guys are
work.
Way more into the pop culture than me.
No,
here's
no.
a question, though.
Eric
here's a
Perez
legit question.
Still better.
All right, here's a good one. All right, Canadianity, Juno's on last night. Sarah McLachlan.
Who gives a shit?
No, man. They're actually getting better. It's no longer the Nickelback Awards, so it's cool. All right. So, Sarah McLachlan.
Just loving Nickelback over there, right?
Yeah, Sarah McLachlan gets this wicked, awesome award. You know, Lifetime Achievement Award, Canadian Music Hall of Fame deals. So, does a woman like Sarah McLachlan, Arnie DeFranco, or Leslie Feist, who did a fucking solid rendition of Leonard Cohen last night in his tribute off the chain. In fact, I'm going to switch this up to Leonard Cohen while I'm telling this bit. Alright, so do you think these Lilith Fair type, these strong singer-songwriter women look at like Ariana Grande's and the Christina Aguilera's and are like, oh, honey, sweetheart, you are just setting up.
Destroying
everything what I've worked for. Because you're just a Maxim magazine cover singing a song. Do you think there's any of that?
Do you think
they see, like, you're the Madonna, like the Rihanna, the Madonna of our thing. You're sexually empowered as a woman and you're just doing your thing. Question. Answer. Discuss.
I think there is some jealousy of it.
Is it jealousy?
Do you
honestly think Sarah McLachlan is jealous of fucking Ariana Grande?
I would not.
I don't think so.
I hope not.
Well, for what? I mean, Ariana Grande, if you're going for monetary value, I bet you Ariana Grande below Sarah McLachlan.
You have been smoking some very, very strong potent shit, my friend, if you believe that.
That Sarah McLachlan doesn't have as... Sarah McLachlan has more money than Ariana Grande?
Sarah McLachlan hasn't even spent all her fumbling towards ecstasy money yet. She's still got four or five albums after that.
I would still say Ariana Grande now is probably...
No.
What?
No.
Okay, she's got more money. Hard disagree.
Yeah.
I think Ariana Grande... Sarah McLachlan is like you and I, like saving money, you know, like...
Yeah.
She may even have real people problems. But Ariana Grande doesn't have real people problems.
No, are we talking about real people problems? Are we talking about monetary value?
That's what I'm saying. She's got so much money. Like, she doesn't. Who? Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think. I think Sarah McLachlan's.
He thinks Sarah McLachlan is monetarily better than Ariana Grande.
I think Sarah McLachlan's watching her RRSPs grow at a moderate rate. You know, like, I.
Really?
Like,
yeah.
You think Sarah McLachlan's.
Okay, if she's. I don't know if she's done any producing, and she's a smart woman, and I'm sure she has. So I'm sure she's got, like, other revenue streams to call it, but, like.
I'm basing on record sales here.
But even then, with all that.
She's not buying records anymore.
But she could be a solid producer that I don't know about, and somebody could completely argue that. Now.
But even with that, I still think Ariana Grande's got way more money.
I would still.
All right, use one of my fact checks.
You can have it back.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to look it up. I'm just trying to find this jam.
But, and be like, well, I mean, even then, even if you don't see it, I mean, because you mentioned Christina, I mean, Christina would blow her monetarily out of the fucking water. Right? And I'm not going to lie. I mean, this may come across bad, but I'm pretty picky on women I would actually listen to.
Oh, iPod just died.
Right?
Terrible.
Christina, I fucking love Christina's voice.
Ruh-roh.
And our phone's dead. Fuck. Did somebody have a phone? Can I borrow? Gotta look this shit up. I honestly gotta believe Sarah McLachlan. I mean, the whole Lilith Fair thing alone has got her net worth.
Yep, but you're going... What? She's Canadian.
She's not. She's international. She's not Leslie Feist. She's not Tegan and Sarah. She's Sarah fucking McLachlan.
By the way, Tegan and Sarah... I would put more money on Tegan and Sarah than Sarah McLachlan.
Nobody buys albums anymore, man.
Yeah, but that doesn't...
Give it up.
All right, here we go. Keep going. Keep talking, boys.
Well, I mean,
Sarah McLachlan, no. I'm so... Like, I can't believe that you're making this... What a ridiculous argument.
Now, if you threw in Celine Dion there, then I would... Yeah, I would have to probably give the old Celine Dion, but...
Yeah, well, Celine Dion's got money that she'll never spend. She hasn't even spent Titanic money
or
yet.
Even if you said Shania Twain.
Like, same deal.
Shania Twain hasn't made an album because there was like a contract dispute or something.
She's still spending fucking What a Man Wants or something, whatever the fuck that song was that she first came out with.
I might have to eat humble pie here. Sarah McLachlan's only worth $135 million.
Wow. That is like 134 more than I thought. So.
No.
Ariana Grande net worth. $5 million.
What?
Yeah. In 2013, she earned a reported $1 million. 2014, she earned $1.7 million. Ariana Grande is said to have a net worth of approximately $5 million, which is no fucking slouch.
Yeah, well, considering she's what, like 19?
Are you kidding me? Sarah McLachlan?
But the difference is, the minute Ariana Grande doesn't look like Ariana Grande
anymore, yeah, done.
I actually listened to a lot of Ariana Grande lately, just for We'll leave it as that.
Just for some comparison's
sake. Because let me put it back to a whole different discussion. I brought a little extra to this, but to this argument you don't know about.
Sarah McLachlan's worth $135 million.
When I lived in Taiwan, Sarah McLachlan's fucking huge in Taiwan. So, like is, so is Air Supply.
That'd be like David Hasselhoff. Who knew that he'd probably be worth a fucking fortune, right? But they love him over in Germany and shit, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not surprised. Wow. Yeah. When I saw that, I was just like, oh, that's not that much. It is, but it isn't.
I can't believe that.
Dude.
Anyway.
Wow. Good. You know what? Good for her.
But you got to think about it, right? The record industry has also changed, right? So you get these young birds who are like, you look good,
totally
you're sexy.
Totally exploited.
Right? We're going to sign you to a record contract. This is why bands like NSYNC and Backstreet Boys went bankrupt at the height of their success. Because the label's just like, you got to pay for the album, you got to pay for the art, you got to pay for the tour, we're going to front you that money.
But how many artists have been screwed over by all either agents or record companies,
so
right?
When Sarah McLachlan, so, I guess she's part of an earlier generation before that kind of exploitation. Because she wasn't always about sexuality. It's it's like Ariana Grande.
When was she ever about sexuality?
She never was. She's always been above it, right? So Ariana Grande, here's the contract where you're going to have to sign. I'm not signing that.
Well, she's
guess
a Disney girl, right?
There is a line of fucking good-looking broads out in the hallway who will sign this contract. So you're at the front of the line. You've got about 3.5 seconds before I change my fucking mind. You know? Because you know what? Everybody's heard of Christina Aguilera. But nobody's ever heard of Jennifer fucking Phillips. You want to know why? Because she didn't sign the contract.
That, there's only one Christina.
Do you really believe there's only one Christina?
I fucking...
How many Christinas did they go through before they found Christina?
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's only one Christina. Everybody wants to be a Christina, but there's only one Christina. Fact.
Sexualizing teenage girls the 90s, right?
Disney, right? Yeah.
No, all that stuff happened after the Disney
bit. Oh, no, Ariana Grande was a Disney girl.
Okay, I think that we have a pretty
Christina
good argument that we
girl.
Can even link back to the
Britney
original
Spears
talk.
Spears is a Disney girl.
Are we going to loop it back?
Justin
learned behavior from Disney. Miley Cyrus, Christina Aguilera.
Hillary Duff.
Britney Spears.
Justin Timberlake.
And
what's going on in the Disney studios? Mickey Mouse! What is happening down there?
Well, they had to create Minnie Mouse because he needed some ass, right?
What was the name of the guy who used to run...
Steamboat Willie. Wait, no.
No. There was a guy who used to... Remember when we were kids, before all the Disney movies, every Sunday night there was a Disney movie? And
I used to watch it all
the time. The guy with the bald head, and he was like the president of Disney at the time. What was his name?
Masterpiece Theater.
Oh, I forget.
It all went to shit after him.
Yeah, after he took down. Yeah.
Well, boys.
It's all about
that water. Was a lighthearted way to end it. We're popping up on 57 minutes. We got a growl to crack open, but I don't think we need to record any more of this shenanigans.
Yeah.
What do y'all think?
I think we're good, man.
Think you're good? All right.
This is a good one.
I want to just throw this out here right now. Y'all listening, all five of you, need to tune in for the next one. Which we're doing right away. We're doing back-to-backs because it's been a while. And it's going to be epic. I'm not going to tell you what it's all about, but I will drop a few buzzwords. Old school versus new school. WWF. WWE. Personalities. Cold War. War on Terrorism. Soapboxes. Dude, it's going to be epic. It's going to be funny. It's not going to be serious. We're not going to be talking about pedophiles and racists and Christina Aguilera. Not that there's any connection between those three things. But it's going to be a lot of fun, so tune in. You're down for Thursday night. Maybe. You're down on for Thursday night. So it's going to be a different crew. Maybe. Well, partially different, partially the same.
At least one of the same.
Yeah, because I'm here all the time. I never leave. All right, all you listeners, all four or five, maybe six of you, peace.